I hope this don't sound vain. I'm getting ready to preach, and I want this to come from my heart. And I've always had a hard time doing this, but the Lord's given me a few words to some songs, and then he helped me to put it on a CD, and so if you'd be interested, we got some of those back there in the back. And I was giving away Big Mac coupons with them to get folks to take one, but so I ran out of the coupons, amen, and besides, they were more expensive than the tapes, amen, and so I said, this ain't working, amen, and so the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 19. I want to begin reading. This is going to be a good year in evangelism. I got a new message to start out with. Amen. When I pastored, you got to try these things out. But now it's just cold turkey. Amen. And if God don't help us, we're in trouble. I'd preach it over there at Harvest, and it'd be dead as a stick of wood, and I'd wad that one up and cast that in the side. And so, but anyway, y'all don't want to hear about that. 2 Kings 19 and verse number 1, the Bible reads that it came to pass. I know my wife's about to shout on this. Amen. All right. It came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent off his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. The Bible said that he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Y'all ever had any of those? He said that it's a day of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. This is the king's hope. He said, it may be the Lord thy God will hear all of the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord. Boy, that's always good in a day of trouble, isn't it? You know, I've always discovered this. There's been some times when people had something to say to me in my day of trouble that I wish they wouldn't have said it, because they didn't have no idea what they were talking about. Oh, don't look at me like that. There have been times folks try to give you advice you wish they'd shut up. But there's never been a time in my day of trouble when I got me a word from the Lord that it didn't help me. Amen. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of those words which thou hast heard, in which the servants of the king of Assyria has blaspheme me. In essence, he's saying it's not their words that got power. It's not their words that count, but it's my words. Don't listen to them. If you listen to the media, I'm telling you, you're going to be suicidal, depressed, in need of a good service. I get in trouble with this statement. My wife said, well, why do you say it? Some folks have got more confidence in Rush Limbaugh than they do what God's got to say. All right, let me hurry on past that one. Amen. That just... Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and I shall and he shall hear a rumor, and he shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned, found the king of Syria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of her, whatever that word is, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee. Words. More words. Amen. Saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods, little g, of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? You see, his problem was he was failing to realize that their little gods were gods of wood and stone. They had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had hands, but they couldn't work. Feet, but they couldn't walk. In fact, if they showed up, they had to take them with them. But our God, he's big God. Big G. He's got eyes that can see. He's got hands that can work, and he's got feet that can walk, and I'm telling you, a lot of times he has already showed up and taken care of it before you ever got there. Hallelujah. Notice this, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed. He prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all of the kingdoms of the earth thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, I love this. Bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. In other words, he was saying, Lord, it's not me that they're picking on, it's you. I want to look at this today and try to bring a message that God's laid upon my heart. I want to preach on this thought, when bad news finds. When bad news finds you. I want to begin by saying bad news has a way of showing up. The old song used to be sung that if it wasn't for bad news, there'd be no news at all. It may not be that bad where you're at, but I'm sure that there are those that could testify what it is like to have bad news to show up. When I think of bad news, I think of, it must have been bad news when Jacob heard about the loss of his son Joseph. When they brought Brother John that bloody coat and he laid it at that daddy's feet and said that Joseph is never coming back. That must have been bad news. That must have been a burden to the heart of that old man of God. I think that it must have been bad news when Job got word about the storm that had raged and the devastation and how that in a brief moment of time, everything that was dear to Job outside of God was gone. I dare say some of the worst news that you'll ever receive will be news regarding your children. Here we are again. It must have been bad news when David heard about Absalom's stealing the heart of the men, dividing the kingdom, and David having to flee the palace and dwell in a castle. Must have been bad news for Saul when he showed up at that witch's house and he's trying to find him some guidance. And that vision that he had of Samuel that night. When Samuel told him that influence told him that, hey, God's not going to help. You've done things on your own and for yourself all of these years, and now when you need him, you're on your own. That's got to be bad news. And on today that I could go, but truth is, sooner or later, bad news is going to find you. And it's not bad news that'll take you out, but it's how that you respond to bad news. Some respond by pouting. Some respond by pitying themselves. The reason why that they pity themselves is because nobody else will pity them. The reason why that they pity themselves is because they actually feel like that they're the only ones that's ever had any bad news. Some respond by praying, and on I could go. But while reading my Bible, I came across this episode in the life of Hezekiah. And it doesn't just tell us about bad news, but it tells us how that Hezekiah responded to this bad news. The first thing that I discovered that was of interest to me when I began to look at this, the first response that I find of Hezekiah when he got bad news was he went to church. Out of all of the things that Hezekiah could have done, Hezekiah saw the importance of the house of God. He said in verse number 1 that it came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and the Bible said that he went into the house of the Lord. When I pastored, I never did get used to people leaving the house of God when they needed the house of God the most. And thank God for the house of God in the sunshine. And thank God for the house of God when things are going well. But you'll never know the importance of a good church until your whole world gets turned upside down. Until all of the props have been kicked out from under you. And my friend, you no longer have answers for yourself. And thank God for a place that you can go where that you can find help and strength. And my friend, answers for your times of bad news. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Two things that I find there quickly in that verse. Number one, I find the practice. The practice is, he said, that's just the manner of some is. That's just the manner of some forsaking the house of God. They don't even know why they forsake the house of God. You suggestion that we're to be there Sunday morning and Sunday night? I've never gone to church twice in one day. That might be for y'all, but that's just not for me. That's the manner of some. That's the manner of some here. I have watched it over and over and over again a lot of times when people need the church the most. They uproot, and I'm telling you, my friend, they head out. First thing that I find when Hezekiah got bad news is that he responded to it by going to church. And then I see the purpose of not forsaking ourselves together. He said, exhorting one another. Not to be exhorted. Not to be made to feel good.
not to be made feel apart. Somebody said, well, I ain't going. I don't feel apart. That's not why you ought to go. Can a brother get a witness in this church this morning? But the Bible said the purpose of showing up when the church doors are open is to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. When some go to the altar, others go with them. What a tragedy it would be to show up at church needing somebody to pray with you and nobody was there to pray with you. Some of the greatest help that I've gotten has been at the church house from people that have encouraged me that didn't even know what I was going through. And I looked at the preacher and I said, did you tell him? He told him. Have you ever been encouraged by somebody about your particular situation that didn't even know what you were going through? I don't know what's better, getting help from somebody that doesn't know you need help, or helping somebody that you didn't know needed help. Somebody giving you something that didn't know you needed it, or for reasons that only God knows, He moves on you for you to give somebody else something that you didn't even know they needed. I'm telling you, this king got him some help. We're at down at the church house. And I can't help but believe that, my friend, if you've got needs today, I'm telling you, can get you some help here at the church house. He responded. And then number two, he sought strength from others. In verse number two, he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. You know, when bad news finds you, there's a temptation to isolate yourself. You remember Elijah after that great and mighty revival on Mount Carmel when he saw the fire of God fall. He was so full of God. He asked his servant, he said, you go out there to the edge of the cliff and tell me what you see. And he got to looking up there in the distance and he said, I see a cloud and it's like a man's hand. He said, man, we better get off this mountain. Well, Ahab had the chariot of the day. He said, you want to ride? He said, no, you'll slow me down. I got to get off this mountain. You say, is that really in the Bible? Yeah, read it. He took off a running, outran that chariot with that king in the chariot. But all that it took was just one negative comment from someone of the opposite, a woman. I can't help the way the Bible's writ. All she said was, you're going to be like one of them prophets that you slew up there on the mountain this time tomorrow. And I'm telling you, that took the fire out of our Elijah's. You know what he decided he's going to find him? He found him a juniper tree. Crawled up under that juniper tree, and that servant maid tried to crawl up under that juniper tree. And he said, I'm just meeting some downtime. I just need me some time to myself. I got to do me some thinking. He got to thinking too much, and he got to thinking, hey, man, I'd be better off dead, and I want to die. He don't want to die. If he wanted to die, he just should have stayed over there at Jezebel's house. She was fixing to oblige him, but what I am trying my best to tell you that, hey, when bad news finds you, thank God for some friends. Thank God for some people that you can find some strength in. you can find some encouragement in. You can find some reasons, my friend, how to go on with your life. To go on with your life. Ecclesiastes 4:9 said two are better than one. I read where that potter never puts anything in that fire alone. He always put other vessels in that fire so that it never have to go through the fire by itself. I never will forget when Rebecca came into our lives 22 years ago. I didn't realize there's that many handicapped people into the world until I had one of my own. And to tell you that I have never had some discouraging times would not be to tell you the truth. But you know what helped me? I went to Charleston, West Virginia back in 1994. And coming through the door was a boy by the name of Greg and his wife by the name of Diane that had twins with cerebral palsy. The daughter, Jessica, had Rebecca's spirit. Greg is one of the most tender and one of the most kindest individuals that I ever come into contact with. I guess what I'm trying to say, if anybody should have felt sorry for themselves, it was Greg. If anybody should have pitied himself, it was Greg. But what God allowed me to do is to meet somebody like that to show me that I wasn't in this thing by myself. You might feel like you're in this thing by yourself, that nobody knows what you're going through. The preacher may not know. The people around you might not know. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that my friend has a way of showing up when we need him to show up. And I'm telling you, thank God for others when it comes to bad news. Number three, in verses 3-4, he resorted to a higher power. They said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day's a day of trouble. It's a day of rebuke, blasphemy. The children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Several things that I want you to notice. Number one, I want you to notice his confession. In verse number 3, he saw the ultimate need for him was to get God involved. And he said in the latter part, he said, the children are come to the birth. Hey, it's time for the delivery. Hey, it's time to give birth. And there's not enough strength in us to bring forth. I can't do this. I know something needs to happen. There's not a one of you in this building today that's heard bad news, that would deny this fact, that something's got to be done. Something needs to happen. But when you look at yourself, you're so weak. You're so powerless. My friend, you're just so helpless. And you know that if anything's going to happen, there's going to have to be something happen from above. His confession, his concentration, verse number 4. His aim was that God might hear all of the words of Rabshakeh. You know, it's amazing how God can help us with our focus. Life has a way that demands ability that is greater than ours. For your good. We're prone to get lifted up. We're prone to fill our oats. We're prone to feel, hey, preacher, I don't know what in the world you've done without me all these years. But all that it takes is just one bit of bad news. Y'all ain't mad at me already, are you? Y'all just thinking, right? All that it takes is just a little bit of bad news to show you the race ain't to the swift. I
I'm thankful for the times that he has sent stuff in my life, Brother John, that I did not ask for. But that I needed. And it was days after I went through it that I realized I should have asked for that. But I didn't. But what I'm trying to get you to get a hold of is simply this. He sought strength from others, but he also resorted to a higher power. He knew the only hope that he had was getting God involved. You hear what this fellow's saying. And then notice in verses 5 through 7, he watched God do a great work. He said this, thus saith the Lord. I have got something to say. Be not afraid of those. Well, thank God for a word. Noah had a word. Abraham had a word. Elijah had a word. Jeremiah had a word. And sometimes the only thing that's going to get you through your bad news is that somehow another God gets you a word. Notice this. This is what God said. Don't pay no attention to him. Listen to what I got to say. He said, listen. He said in verse number 7, he said, I will send a blast. You don't want God to blast you. Amen. And then notice this. He said, he shall hear a rumor. Then notice, he said, and he shall return. And notice, this is God speaking. He said, I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He showed up at the king's house with his sword drawn. He said, I'm going to cut you deep and wide. And it troubled the king. All right. It troubled the king. So he sent word to Isaiah. He said, I got a problem with this king, man. He's telling me all this stuff, and he's just absolutely has literally froze me up. So God said, go back and tell him, don't pay no attention to what he's saying. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a blast. I'm going to cause him to hear a rumor. He's going to return to his own land, and he said, and I will cause him to fall by his own sword. Good news. Everybody say, whew, good news. Oh, come on. I saw T.G. Jakes do that one time on television, and they all rose up and said, you can't get Baptists to do nothing. Sometimes I wish they had me a little preach too. Amen. Now, I want you to notice we finally got bad news, then came good news, and now come bad news. So Rabshakeh returned, found the king of Syria warring against Libna. And when he heard say to the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers to give to Hezekiah. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted to the sea. Now I got more bad news. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when bad news shows up and you go to trust help, to getting help from others, and you go to church, you find strength in others, you resort to a higher power, God gives you a promise and you wait to see something great to happen, then you count on the enemy trying to hinder you. I see in this truth two things. Number one, I see an issue for faith. One writer said faith is designed for obstacles bigger than you. That great Bible author and writer named Anonymous said, there are no miracles to men who do not believe in them. I'm telling you, we have lost sight. My friend, we have lost the ability to trust God for the big things. You ain't got got no problem trusting him for little stuff. Because, you know, if he doesn't do it, then, you know, you... All right, forget that thought. But I tell you what we do have problems trusting him for. That's the big things. We have always, thank God for wore out handicap equipment. But we've always got hand-me-downs, and I'm thinking, thank God, that beats going and paying $50,000 for a handicap van. Somebody sent us a handicap van, and it had a lift in it, and I said, thank God. And they said, but look at it. And I said, yeah, but look at what I've got. I don't even have a lift. It had like 375,000 miles on it. Had a lift. Up. Had a lift. So I asked him, I said, would you be offended if I take that lift out of your van and put it in my van? And they said, oh, no. I said, in fact, we'll pay for it if you'll let us have the van back. I said, deal. So to make a long story longer, I went into evangelism. So I had the good car, and I left Miss Donna with the Astro van with the used handicap lift. Well, I'm up in Charlevoix, Michigan, and she calls, and she's panicked. She has, it's in June, latter part of June. She's drove from Dahlonega all the way to Gainesville over at Bethany. And for this particular day, the van or whatever was in the van decided that the motors on the windows, power windows, tore up. They couldn't get the windows down. And then the compressor went out on the air conditioning, so she didn't have no air. Well, an Astro van is not designed for a lift unless there's been some modulation done to it. So when we would roll Rebecca in that thing, Rebecca would be over like that. Then we'd have to crawl in it and pull Rebecca and push her in the seat. Well, this particular trip, that lift decided to tear up. So Miss Donna calls and said, I don't think I can handle another trip like that. We about had a heat stroke. So I got down on my knees, and I said, God, if you want me to do what I'm doing, I said, this is not right for me to have a good car. But I didn't need an evangelism, a van that you weren't going to be able to get out of Lumpkin County. I'm slow, but I ain't that slow. Amen. So I said, God, if you want me to do this, I said, you ain't got no problem providing them some way to go. So God provided us with a used Chrysler Town and Country, had 60-something thousand. Didn't know they made anything as a tourney seat. It's a seat that turns out, and you mash the button, it comes out and lowers, and you take Rebecca up in it, put her up in it, lift, bash the button, it raises and pull her. And I'm telling you, she was 18 years old, if I'm not mistaken, when we got that, 19. And so I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I said, why in the world have you waited for 19 years to give us something like that? And this is what he said, honest to God, telling you the truth. He said, you never asked. You never asked. And I said, that's a thought. I never did. We have lost, you know why? Because I thought that was too big. I'd rather have something wore out that ain't going to last than to exercise my faith. All right, let me move on with that. Just get that thought. I see an issue for faith, but then I see the increasing of faith. Two ways to have strength. One is through steroids. Not real. It looks good, but it's not real. I had a niece that married a wrestler. I'm about through. I had a niece that married a wrestler. His name was Crusher Carl from the mountains of Andrews, North Carolina. He was unreal, really. What do you call them things? I ain't got none. Biceps? You can tell I ain't got none. His biceps were so huge that he couldn't even touch his waist. That's how he was about 6'3". Huge. But it was show. I didn't know it. I thought it was through pumping, you know, iron and all that stuff. But no, he wrestled with back when wrestling was real, he wrestled with Wahoo McDaniel and Ric Flair. I mean, that's when it was real. But he couldn't last because it wasn't real. It was for looks. He went from there down to Athens, Georgia, joined some organization in Athens, Georgia, and he became Corporal Stiles. Learned hand-to-hand combat in the jungles of Vietnam, and the coconut had never even been out of North Carolina. It lasts about 10 minutes. Somebody would disqualify him because it wasn't real. But then you can get strong through struggle. No pain, no. I tell you what, Brother John helped me. I hated it when he told me. I was going through some struggles, and old Brother John, in his little old meek way, he said, "Oh, Brother David, God's just trying to make something better out of you." And I wanted to say, "Shut up." Can a brother get a witness? I didn't understand it then, but I understand a little bit more about it now. I'm telling you, those bad news experiences in our life are not to take us out. They're not, my friend, to belittle us and, my friend, to treat us as if he doesn't care. He sends these things our way to show us there's a power that's greater than our power. And then let me say this in closing, in verse number 15. He got good news, and then he got bad news. Then he got good news, then he ended up with more bad news, and now he's doing the only thing that he knows to do. He just kept on praying. What was it in verse number 15? Notice Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord." Well, let me back up and read 14. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." What do you do when you get bad news? Why don't you take it to church? Spread it before the Lord. Because that's the only thing going to get us through. Bad news. It's Him. It's Him. I hate to be such a negative preacher on opening morning of camp meeting. Sooner or later, you're going to get you some bad news. It's how you respond to it. It's how you respond to it. It's going to get you through it. While we stand.